Nope, that's it. All right, so this is part two. So basically what it is viewing Islam through the lenses of the Bible. And this is the creation misconception. To study all the false aspects of Islam, just in the creation story alone, we'd be here for days, weeks, months, possibly years. So we're only going to touch on just some of the most obvious ones, just in the creation story itself, and that's all we're going to look at today. Next week, we're going to look at the attributes of God, and then possibly get into the two different versions of Jesus in the Bible and the Quran. But we're just going to look at the creation story for today. So both state that there's one creator. Both of them do. In the Quran and also in the Bible. They both state that there's one creator who created all things. We're going to look at those events through the viewpoint of the Quran and how it teaches that their God Allah did it, and how we'll look at the Bible to see how the God of the Bible did it. And it's the main focus on this is there's a lot of misconceptions that that we worship the same God. And it's really obvious we don't. But without seeing the evidence, it's trying to say the sky is blue without, like a blind man trying to see if the sky is blue. He doesn't know. He can't see it. A lot of these things haven't been brought out to show people that the sky is actually blue or that we don't worship the same God. So it's important to see the distinctions between the two, because we're either uneducated and we think we worship the same God, or we're just been misguided and we're misinformed. So that's where we're going to go. We can take many avenues that can go and do the same thing and get to our destination. But we're just going to look at this one. And so if we look close at the accounts of creation, we will see clearly that the two events cannot, and I repeat, cannot come from the same God. How did we get the Quran? The Quran didn't start out as one book. It started out as many different versions. During the life of Muhammad, it was never collected into a book. They were wrote on reeds. They were wrote on rocks. Different things were scribed on different materials. So it was never brought together truly in a book form until later on. So what we're going to look at, there's a couple things that I've done some research on. I'm going to read a few things about what Muslim scholars believe. And after you look at the evidence, you're going to look at these Muslim scholars and definitely question the word scholar. Okay, the text of the Quran is entirely reliable. It has been as it is, unaltered, unedited, not tampered with in any way since the time of its revelation. Okay, we're going to look at the evidence, and it's absolutely false. The Quran was memorized by Muhammad. I'm going to stop right there. It's a fact that Muhammad was illiterate. He couldn't read, he couldn't write. So how can it be memorized? That these things were recited to him, and he had the entire thing memorized. So keep that in your mind when you're looking at this. And it was written down by the scribes who cross-checked it during his lifetime. Not one word of its 114 surahs, that's another number that you're going to remember, 114 surahs. In the Quran that we have today, there's 114 surahs. And they're organized from the longest surah, which is like a chapter in the Quran. It's called a surah, but it's a chapter. The longest to the smallest. There's no particular order except that. That's the only order that there is in the Quran. And like I said, the Quran that we have today is not, and we'll show this, it's not the same Quran as that they had back then. There was multiple Qurans until about, was it 839, where Uthman had collected all the Quran, and he authorized one Quran and said the rest of it, he collected all the different versions of the Quran, and we'll look at some of the things that, if we have the time, we'll look at some of the different things that, and out of Muhammad's own mouth and in the Hadith, which are his writings, that bear truth to the fact that there were multiple Qurans, because he actually asked to have different versions read to him. So no other book in the world can match the Quran. The astonishing fact about this book of Allah is that it remained unchanged even to a dot over the last 1400 years. I'm not going to go on with these allegations because it's absolutely not true. So the Quran is the only, this is the interesting one, it's kind of funny. The Quran is the only scripture that has been preserved in its exact original form, in its entire content, as it was revealed to the Prophet 1400 years ago. Not a word added or removed. This is a historical fact beyond dispute. I dispute it. God Himself has assured us that it's in its preservation. Okay. In summary, this is what the Islamic leaders believe. They're making the following claims about the Quran. A, Muhammad perfectly memorized the Quran. He simply dictated the Quran to his followers, who memorized it and wrote it down with no editing. Muhammad examined it and approved what was written. There is only one version of the Quran. The Quran is perfectly preserved. These claims are proved by history, and the Quran is superior to all other scriptures in its preservation. Are these claims true? No, they're not true. None of those things that they claim are true, and they cannot be proven. Aisha was his first wife. They first got married, I believe, when she was 9 years old, and they didn't consummate the marriage until they were 11, or she was 11. The Prophet heard, and this is Aisha saying, the Prophet heard a man reciting the Quran in the mosque and said, "May Muhammad bestow his mercy on him, as he has reminded me of such and such verses of such and such surah." He couldn't even remember. This is supposedly Aisha saying what Muhammad spoke. He couldn't even remember. So if you go back to what these people said, that he memorized the Quran, he had it perfectly memorized. Okay, this is Muhammad supposedly saying such and such, such and such. He couldn't remember what verse was being said. So A, he didn't know it. And also Masud was one of the writers of a particular, there were like 7 versions of the Quran before it was all put together, and this one isn't even the Quran. This is probably, and I'm going to swear by this, this is probably one of the best. Usama Dakdak is a guy that wrote, it's called The Generous Quran. The Quran that most people have in their days or in their libraries and all that is a watered down version of the Quran, and this is going to fall. I saw it start sliding, so he actually took, and it's taken 10 years, to take the actual Arabic writings and the actual Arabic scriptures and translate it word for word, where it was possible word for word. What most Arabic, when they translate it from Arabic to English, what they've done is they've watered it down. So what most people are reading is a watered down version of the Quran, where what he's done, he hasn't watered it down. It's word for word, thought for thought. So whatever you're getting out of this Quran, you're getting the truth as close as possible. Just like there's some words in Hebrew that can't translate to English, but you get as close as possible. But you don't fudge it and you don't water it down. You get it as close as possible. Well, that's what he's done. And it's actually interesting. He gives little subtitles of what they actually say. So I highly recommend that book. Muhammad, I am only a man being... Okay, this is another one. This is Masub, who was a follower of Muhammad. And so he wrote down a lot of the stuff in his own writings about what Muhammad said. So he wrote, I am only, and this is Muhammad saying this, I am only a human being and I forgot just as you do. So when I forget, remind me. If this is supposed to be the man that was supposed to have memorized the entire Quran, these are actual sayings, and you can find them in the Hadith. I mean, I've got all the notations of exactly where you can find all this information. And also, we will make you recite, O Muhammad, and you will not forget, except what Allah should will. And this is in the Quran. So, just with that, just a couple of the things that I've said, it proves that Muhammad obviously didn't memorize it, and he didn't know it. So we're going to get there. Here we see in verses, it's in the Quran, chapter 4, or Surah 4, 95, being edited and now include those who are disabled, this type of change. Oh, let me go back. Let me read this. Okay, this is where we're talking about editing. Al-Ba'ar was one of the writers. This was revealed, and this is something that he had brought, and it brings the note, or it brings the fact that it wasn't edited, or it was edited. And remember, listen to the words. Not equal are those believers who sit at home and those who strive and fight in the cause of Allah. And this is Quran 495. Okay, this is what Muhammad wrote, and this is what he wrote and included in the Quran. He says, not equal are those believers who sit, except those who are disabled. So we added that, except those who are disabled. Why did he say that? Because this man that was sitting there reciting the Quran to Muhammad was blind. He couldn't see. And he couldn't stand up because he had an injured leg. So what did he do? He went ahead and added this part, except those who are disabled. And this has been accepted in the Quran, one of the seven versions of the Quran before Uthman collected it all. So therefore, Muslim leaders say that the Quran was simply recited by Muhammad and then written down, they were wrong. The Islamic history shows that sometimes verses were edited to their final form as what we have today. So we can look at how the Quran, and we can spend an entire day, a couple different messages on how the Quran was put together. Goats. I mean, there's in the Hadith, there's wrote the goats ate some of the scrolls. So how do we know? So basically what I'm saying is, what we have today, we don't know that this is what supposedly Muhammad wrote. Or not wrote, but was revealed to Muhammad. We don't know that. So how can they say that it's the perfect Quran? Okay, we're going to get into that a little bit. Now we see that today we don't have it. Now let's look at some of the contradictions and differences between the Quran. So what came first? When we try to look in the Quran and try to find in the Bible, it's really easy. Genesis 1, in the beginning. And it gives you very systematically what happened. But in the Quran, you have to go. Remember, it's verse or Surah 114 down to verse 1. Obviously, 14 being the shortest, Surah 1 being the longest. There is no order. So trying to find throughout the entire Quran which verse talked about creation, you can't find them all. There's no true story through the entire Quran. So how do we know? Trying to get a chronological order of what was created was really hard to try to find. So again, we have to realize trying to put it all in chronological order is hard, and it's nearly impossible. So we're going to look at Surah 65:12 says that Allah created seven heavens and the same number of earths. Plural. Yes, I said plural. Earths. So we're going to look at that. 65:12. Allah who has created seven heavens and the same number of earths, the divine command comes down through them all that you may know that Allah has might over all things. Okay, so it's interesting. So he says he created seven heavens and seven earths. That's the first thing that came to mind the first thing that came to mind when I said that or when I read it was, well, that's where the TV show Seventh Heaven comes from. They had to have been Muslims. Surah 11:7. And he is who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and his throne was on the water. Some people that I'm going to mention, Ibn Kathir, Ibn means servant of. Ibn Kathir, a Muslim scholar, he was born in the 1300s. I did a message, it was last October, The Rise of ISIS and the Christian Response. And I mentioned this guy, Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah lived in the 1300s. And Ibn Taymiyyah is the one that took the Quran and basically took all the radical or all the warlike sword verses. And that's what he taught. He started madrasas. And the madrasas, their students were called Talibes. What are Talibes? The Taliban in Afghanistan. So, and they're pumping out 1.3 million Talibes, or students, that's what Taliban stands for, is students, pumping 1.3 million of these Talibes out every year. Well, that's, Ibn Taymiyyah is the one who taught Ibn Kathir. And Ibn Kathir is a Muslim scholar, and a very highly respected Muslim scholar. So what he had wrote, and what he did is he not only took the local sayings, but he took Muhammad's hadith, which are Muhammad's sayings, and used that to interpret the Quran. And like I said, with Ibn Taymiyyah's as his teacher, his mentor. So that alone is scary. So I'll be mentioning Ibn Kathir quite a bit. Ibn Kathir stated that before the creation of the heavens and the earth, there was nothing created. Okay, well, he was supposed to be this highly respected scholar. So before, you got to remember this, before the heavens and the earth were created, there was nothing created. Okay, so remember that. Surah 11:7. Okay, so what about the throne? Let's look at that. Surah 11:7. And he is who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and his throne was on the water. Okay, if nothing was created before the heavens and the earth, okay, what about the water? What about the throne? Doesn't make sense. So doesn't the water have to be there first before the throne? But if nothing was created before the heavens and the earth, how can the waters and the thrones be there if nothing was created before the heavens and the earth? Okay, if it's confusing, trust me, it's confusing to me too. And that's the fact, that's what I'm trying to try to get at. Many verses state that Allah's throne was sitting on the water before he created the heavens and the earth. The question is, what came first? Say, the heavens and the earth, or the throne of the water? Or the pen made from light? And you're wondering where I got this pen made from light. Ibn Jair is another one, another Muslim scholar, that, and other Muslim scholars, and I had this whole list of all these people that believe this, believe that Allah created the pen before he created all things. Okay. Again, what came first, the chicken or the egg? So he created all things. The pen came before he created all things. Muhammad is quoted in the Hadith saying that Allah created the pen first. If you're getting confused, join. We're in good company. According to Muhammad, Allah commanded the pen to write until the day of resurrection, meaning the end times. Allah is still writing and he's not finished yet. So if he's still writing, if the Quran is complete, if this is complete and this is the most perfect scripture, and if you understand the law of abrogation, then it refutes itself. But if this is supposedly perfect, why is Allah still writing until the end of the resurrection, or until the resurrection, meaning the end times? Muhammad said in the Hadith that Allah wrote down on a board the measurements of all creatures before he created the heavens and the earth. Okay, if there was nothing created, Ibn Jair and Ibn Kathir both say that there was nothing created before the heavens and the earth, where did this board come from? It's a question. Okay. Ibn Jair states that Allah created the waters first before the throne, because if Allah sat his throne on the water, or on above the water, the waters should have been there before the throne could sit on it. So all this before created, Allah created all things. Trust me, when I was doing this, this was really hard because I was trying to make sure that this sounded correct, and it still makes it sound like it's not sounding correct, but it's exactly what they're saying. Muhammad, according to Kathir, Allah created a guarded board made from white pearls with pages made from from red rubies. And this is what supposedly the Quran is wrote on. Why is it wrote on the board? To preserve it from being tampered with. Okay, so if he's still writing, then it's not preserved. So do you understand the confusion? That's really, really hard to try to get your mind around it. Muhammad wrote that Allah created all things on the earth first, then he created the heavens. Surah 229. So Surah 229... And this was actually kind of fun to try to make sense of all this. Luckily, I don't have hair, or I would have been pulling it out a long time ago. He is who created for you all of what is on the earth, then went straight to the heaven, so he made them seven heavens, and he is knowledgeable of all things. So it says that he created the heavens, or created everything on earth first, and then he created the heavens. Surah 65:12 tells us that Allah created seven heavens and the same number of earths. Question, and this is the interactive part of this. Okay, how many planets are in our solar system? Okay, so there's eight. Prior to 2006, there was nine, but in 2006, Pluto was demoted to no longer be a planet. Okay, so how many earths did Allah create? According to his writing, 7. Okay, so it doesn't matter. The math doesn't add up. I mean, if we had 9 and then 2006 demoted, and now we only have official 8 planets, Allah created 7 planets with the same number of earths, or no, 7 heavens with the same number of planets, the math doesn't add up. So if Allah is the great creator of all things, wouldn't he know that in our solar system he would have created 9 planets? I'm just guessing. I'm just saying. Okay, so this is the fun thing. Okay, so in the Bible, it says that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days. I believe it's 6 literal 24-hour days. And the reason why I believe that, because if you look at the Hebrew, and when they say morning, evening, when they give those two specifiers, morning, evening, it means a 24-hour day. And that's what I believe. And so I believe that there are literal 24-hour days. So let's look at this. And you be the judge. I'm just going to read it. You tell me that you be the judge of this. So it's in 41, 9 through 12. Let me find it real quick. Okay, say, have you become infidels in him who created the earth in 2 days? And you make partners with him. That is the Lord of the worlds. And he made in it stabilizers, meaning mountains. That's what he's talking about. Mountains were the stabilizers. On top of it, and he has blessed it. And he measured in it provisions in 4 equal days to those who ask. Then he turned to the heaven, and it was smoke. So he said to it and to the earth, come willingly or grudgingly. They, meaning the earth, said, we come willingly. So he completed them 7 heavens, or he completed them 7 heavens in 2 days and revealed to every heaven its affair. Okay, so how many days? We had 2, then he had 4, and then he created 2. So that's 8 days of creation. Okay, so we read earlier that it was 6 days in creation. So their own creation story is either 6 days or it's 8 days. God rested. And well, I'm going to jump ahead of myself. I'm not going to mention anything about rested. So we're already confused because we don't know how many planets were in the earth or in our solar system. Were there 8? Were there 9? Were there 7? We don't know. According to them, if we try to go by them, the writings of the Quran, it's very confusing. So what about the creation of the galaxy and the rainbow? This was actually kind of fun to listen or to read about and learn about. Okay, Muhammad was asked in his time by one of his followers about the creation of the galaxy, the rainbow, and the land that saw the sun for 1 hour. So, Muhammad's response was, the rainbow, it is to save people of the earth from drowning. This is actually wrote in the Hadith. For the galaxy, he responds, it is the door of heaven which the earth comes from. And as for the land that saw the sun for 1 hour, it is the land that opened up for the children of Israel. Okay, all three answers are wrong. So we're going to look at Genesis 9. Genesis 9, 12 and 13. We're talking about the rainbow. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant. Oh, let me go back a little bit. Let me go back to verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons and with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. Of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Verse 13, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Okay, was a rainbow made for saving drowning people? No, it wasn't made for saving drowning people. What about the galaxy? The galaxy is made of billions of stars. It's not a door. It's made of billions of stars. Okay, let's look at Exodus. Exodus 14. I can lick my Bible because it's my Bible. Okay, Exodus 14, 21 and 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And we're talking about, let me refresh real quick. We're talking about the land that saw the sun for 1 hour. This is the exact quote from Muhammad. The land that saw the sun for 1 hour. And he said it was for the land opened up for the children of Israel. Well, I automatically thought of, it's the parting of the Red Sea. That's what he's talking about. But let's look at what the Bible says about it. In Exodus, like I said, 14, 21, and 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sun, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry land, on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall, to them on their right hand and on their left. I'm going to continue a little bit. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, so they drowned them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariot and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Okay. Was it during the day? By what I just read in the Bible, was that during the day? No, it was in the middle of the night. Okay. So can you imagine how many millions of Jews? Hundreds of thousands of Jews. Would it take more than an hour to go through the Red Sea? What does the Bible say? It says all night. Okay, so strike three. So there's no way. So briefly, we've seen in the Quran, we have seven heavens, seven earths, the board, Allah's continuing to write. We have a very confusing account of what came first, the chicken or the egg, the heavens or the earth, or the pen, or the board, or the pages, the water, the throne. My point, what I'm trying to make is it's very confusing to try to grasp around this. The funny thing is none of the Muslim scholars can agree on any of this. I've read so many different Muslim scholars on all these different things, and there's no agreement whatsoever. So whenever a Muslim scholar is concerned or cornered with a contradictory statement, and you'll notice this, if two surahs or two verses in the Quran and they contradict each other, their response is normal. Not all Muslim scholars agree. They'll start off before they answer. That's what they're going to say. And they finish, "Allah knows best." So it's basically telling you to shut up and just listen to what we're telling you. Whatever I'm telling you at the time is what's correct. And time after time after time, that's what I've through my studies, that's what I'm finding. They're not agreeing. And when there's obvious contradictions, they're not going to confront the obvious contradictions. And they're just going to say, "Allah knows best. I'm not supposed to question." Because you're not supposed to question the Quran. You're supposed to take it at face value and just not question it. What are we taught? We are taught, and we talked about it last week, we are taught, and my pastor teaches, that we are to test everything by the scriptures. It's even scriptural. It tells us to test everything. So even when our pastor is speaking, yes, I listen to him, but we're still supposed to test, because we're men. We're fallen man preaching a perfect word of God. So we're supposed to test it. So the Quran is not only... It's not clear on what was created, on what day, and for what, and how many days? So throughout the whole thing is very confusing. The Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, on the other hand, is very clear and to the point on what took place in the beginning. It's the only book that tells us and gives us a substantial or any sufficient detail of what happened. The Bible is without contradiction. The Bible is completely different than the Quran. And the Bible is organized, like I said, sufficiently detailed for our understanding without the need to fill in the blanks. Like the Quran has many blanks, trying to fill it all in and to try to make sense of this. It's really, really hard. The interesting thing is Genesis 1, 1 through 3. It's easy. If you have trouble finding it, just go to the first pretty much page. And then I'm the one that has trouble finding it. Okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over it, or hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Okay, we see three distinct persons mentioned here. One, God the Father. Two, God's spoken word. We'll get to that. And God the Holy Spirit. So we know who created the heavens and the earth. So briefly, I'm going to look at the definition of the Trinity. The definition of the Trinity is because we believe in the triune God. And what I just read in Genesis 1, 1 through 3 gives a boom. You see the triune God right there. So there is one God, but in the unity of this one God, there are three separate persons, co-equal and co-eternal. And this is important, and I'll tell you why. And also the definition of God. God is a self-conscious, personal being who is the uncaused cause of all that exists, who transcends his creation while being involved in it. Why is it important to understand these two definitions? We need to understand who God is to see that one God could not have come up with two very different and contradictory creation events. There's no possible way that one God created or gave these two different events. There's just absolutely no way. Unless he is mentally ill. I mean, multiple... There's just no way to explain it the clear and concise way that the Bible describes what happened versus, and I'm just being really nice, the very confusing and contradictory statements in the Quran about what happened in the beginning. It's just very hard. God gives us a very clear explanation what happened on the first day, what happened on the second day, what happened on the third day, and finally what happened on the sixth day. He gives us very clear understanding of what he did, how he did it, and why he did it. In the Quran, nothing. So, can the same God create two very distinct, different stories? There's no way possible. It's crucial to understand that God the Son created all things. John 1:1, and through, we'll look at it real quick, so it's not my words, it's God's words. John 1:1 through verse 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, in Genesis 1, 1 through 3, like I said, we have God the Father. We had God's spoken word. God said. That is God's spoken word. That is Jesus Christ. God's spoken word was there in the beginning. Jesus was there in the beginning. So we know who created all things. If that's not enough, Colossians 1. I definitely need new glasses. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, invisible or visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So we know by Scripture who created. It wasn't Allah. We know by the clear, concise. How long ago, what you dated Moses when he wrote, Moses wrote, what, 1400? Is that when? About 1450. Okay, so we're talking 1450 versus 623, 624. Muhammad died in what, 631? So how many, that's a lot of years. What came first? I mean, what are we going to trust? We're going to trust something. They say that it's corrupted, and we're going to get to that. They say that what we have, that's corrupted. And Jesus, the Jesus we worship is the Word spoken. When God said in the beginning, that God said, that word that's spoken is the Jesus we worship. When he said, let there be light, and there was light, that is the God that we worship. There's no confusion, no wishy-washy interpretation. It's clear and concise. These verses not only show Christ's divinity, they show that he, Jesus, created all things. What's interesting, we'll look at 4. Muhammad missed the boat on this one. O people of the book, that means Jews and Christians, do not exaggerate in your religion and do not speak against Allah. Accept the truth. Surely the Christ, Isa, son of Mary, we're going to hit that next week, Isa. Son of Mary is only a messenger of Allah and his word, which he cast to Mary and a spirit from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers and do not say three, cease. It is better for you. Surely Allah is only one God. Praise be to him that there would be to him a son. That was confusing. When I read that, he's almost like saying, I wish Allah had a son. That's what it kind of sounds like to me. But I think he missed the boat. Well, he definitely missed the boat. He missed the whole cruise. Because it's very obvious he had it proven that this book, the book that we have, has been proven over and over and over again. Even by the time of Muhammad, it's been proven that we have it by tradition of the Jews. So, we see through the lens of the Bible who created the heavens and the earth. We read, by reading Genesis 1 through 31, God tells us of the 6 days of creation. Genesis 2, 1 through 3, God rested from his work, blessed and sanctified it, meaning the seventh day. These were 6 actual days, no guessing, no confusing suggestions like we have in the Quran. God knows what he did. He told us exactly what he did, when he did it, and how he did it. Muslim scholars argue that the Bible has been corrupted when they refer to Genesis 2, 1 through 3. So let's look at that. It's really easy. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all of the host in them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So, I've read so many different Muslim scholars say, they go to this word rested, and they harp on this word rested. Okay. So when we look at it, they argue that Allah would not have been tired. Like what we look at as tired, fatigued, worked all day. Okay, you're probably tired. Okay, same thing. Work all day. You get off work at 8 o'clock in the morning. You're tired. You get home. All you want is dinner and keep the dogs away. because we're tired. So we look at that word as being fatigued. Okay? God didn't look at the word tired as being how we look at that word being fatigued. They mock the Bible saying, how does Allah get tired? What they fail to see is the expression rested was commonly used not to mean in the context of being fatigued or tired. Genesis 8:4, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Okay, so was the ark tired? Can an inanimate object be tired? Okay, this was pretty common, using that kind of language back then. Exodus 10:14, and the locusts went up all over the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there was no such locust as they, neither after them shall be such. Okay, so can locusts be tired? Maybe, but they're not saying, they're not using the word rested in that context. So, okay, Numbers 11:25, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spake to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon him, they prophesied and did not cease. Okay, so was the spirit tired, fatigued when they used the word rested? No, it didn't. Judges, this is actually my favorite one. Judges 16:29, and Samson grasped the two pillars, the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. And you know what happened then? Pushed him and the house fell. So was the house rested? Was it tired of being up on the pillars? Well, maybe that's why Samson knocked him out. They're tired of being up there. But no, that's not what he's talking about. So we see an excessive amount of confusion, contradiction, error concerning the creation event recorded in the Quran, the Hadith, and the Muslim scholars. The interesting thing is when we're trying to read and trying to understand these Muslim scholars, when they're trying to interpret this, it's, and I don't want to use the word circus, but it's, you can't pin them down and you can't rationalize with them. Trying to take these two, just the six-day event and the eight-day event, how do you reconcile that? They're going to answer, Allah knows best. I'm sorry, but I want to know best. I want to know what this means and trying to reconcile it. That's what Christian scholars do. They study the word. Okay, let's look at this. What does this mean? What does this mean? They're supposed to take it at face value, whatever it is. So which one is abrogated? Okay, the 6 days or the 8 days? When you're talking about abrogating, which one supersedes the other one? It's a question. So, and I've just hit the tip of the iceberg. Just the tip of the iceberg. And like I said, I went on and on and on. I said, there's no way I can finish all this. And all the different contradictions throughout the Quran versus the Bible. I hope it is now very obvious that to the Muslims and to the Christians that we do not worship the same God. It is very, very important that we don't worship the same God. To know that and realize that. The Christian God is a triune God, and Jesus is the second person of the triune God. And he's the one that created all things that was made. It is my prayer to the Muslims. Compare and study the creation accounts and see that the Bible is clear, concise, non-contradictory account of what really happened in the beginning. It is my prayer to the Christian who has been misinformed, misguided, or is very uneducated into believing that we worship the same God. Study the biblical account and come to know the real creator of the universe, because the God that you're worshiping is not the God of the Bible. That's all I have. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this time. I hope something that I've said makes sense. And again, I wasn't trying to make fun of. It's just showing the obvious contradictions between these two books, that it is definitely not the same God that created, according to the Quran, according to the Bible. I just said, come to the truth, come to Jesus, and know that God, the God of the Bible, Yahweh, is the creator of the universe. And to know God and to have that salvation and to have that assurance of salvation, to come to know Jesus, the true creator of this universe, study the Bible, study just the accounts of creation, confusion versus the truth. And all these things I lift up to you, Lord. We thank you for this time. I just pray for safe passages on the way home, and just keep everybody that wasn't able to be here today. Just hope everything is safe and everything is fine. And again, I just lift up our families to you, and we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.